B-Pod Studios.
What's up?
Get ready, get ready. It's time now for Zolak and Bertrand. Brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What T-Bone put on this morning when he decided to go with the shorts.
Real quick, too.
What?
So, I mean, I get it. It's like close to shorts weather. Like Hardy and I played golf last week.
Yeah.
And you show up and the wind was whipping like it hasn't whipped before around here. And it was cold. I think it was a high without the wind of, what, Hardy? It was like 53?
12. Yeah.
That day we played golf.
12 degrees that day.
There were a couple turns where, man, it felt like it was about in the 40s.
Oh.
There's a couple hardos out there with the shorts playing golf. I got the pullover on, but I got my shorts on. Like, what made you wear shorts today?
I look. Yeah,
like that day. No. That's the day. T-Bone, I'm just breaking T-Bone's balls today. That day. Now you're being a hardo.
Okay, but on the golf course, it is a little bit different. If you're walking and carrying, like I went out and got squeezed in a few holes last night. I did, right? Shorts, and it was a little chilly, but when you're walking and you're carrying,
yep.
You heat up quicker.
Yep.
So.
All right.
Okay.
A little brisk. Great.
Same with producing.
When you're going good, you're pushing all the buttons, you work up a sweat back there.
But we got a couple wackies in this building that have been wearing them now for about, I'd say, good two and a half months straight, and the weather hasn't been perfect.
It is your latest irrational obsession.
No, it's always been my, I've been on this for, T-Bone, have I not?
Yeah, but
it's
irrational. It's particularly consistent here over the last week or so, people wearing shorts.
Paul Meaden.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand, presented by BetMGM, the king of sports books.
You get those at the witch store, or the wood, extra wooden hill.
Yes. Clump, clump. Without a doubt. HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, which, by the way, might be one of the more underrated sports programs there is. Agree? Disagree? Anyone?
Oh, it's very informative. But Bryant Gumbel bugged some people. Some people don't watch. Hello, I'm Bryant Gumbel.
Well, he's not really the guy doing the stories.
I know.
Bryant's just intro and outroing the stories.
It's a very good show, and they have really good stories on it. I know what Zoe is saying, and Bryant Gumbel can be he's a bit much for some people.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, he's in that same vein as Bob Costas.
Yes. Thank you, America.
But there's a certain element.
He's above it.
Or Brian Williams.
He's not a sports guy. He's a journalist.
Mark Bertrand, you say this about this, but tell me why you feel that way.
Is it his tone? Well, is it his way of
delivery.
Asking?
It's the
delivery. What
it's
is
a
it?
Tonality issue, but it's also an issue of not everybody agrees with you, and that becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mark Bertrand, mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Mark
mm-hmm.
Bertrand.
Mm-hmm.
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 That.
Yes,
all right. Well, anyway, it hasn't lasted this long because it stinks. It's a good show.
It's a good show.
It's a really good show.
They did a story on Tuesday night, their latest episode, about how turf has it's really caused a massive amount of injuries to high school athletes. And in football, in particular in the NFL, this has been brought up by players, right? It's been an issue that we've talked to Bert Breer about the last year or so, about how this is becoming a problem. It turns out that this week in Minneapolis, NFL chief medical guy Alan Sills acknowledged that the numbers that the NFL has compiled on injuries related to turf, quote, weren't good. Wouldn't get into the specifics. No one has given up any of the particulars. A source tells Pro Football Talk that the 2022 injury data was, quote, awful for turfs.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Now, do you think they'll do a single thing about it?
No.
No.
The NFL? No. Now, the local high school thing. Now, I think, you know, and traveling around and doing some of the youth stuff and going to a bunch of high school games, there have been fields that have been, you know, historically grass fields. A lot of them are all going all field turf now.
Yep.
And I understand why, because you got a lot of sports in that. But then you get out there and, like, we're playing on someone, and I got my son in his cleats. And you see the cleats slip, and I'm thinking, I don't know, moving forward as he gets, like, the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, I might make him play with basketball shoes. Like, I ended up doing that my senior year in Maryland when we used to have these wet rats that would grip so hard that you tweak your knee, you're going to blow your knee out. That you ended up having to wear flat-bottom basketball shoes just to have some sort of give. But now I watch all these kids and all these teams, they give you they're out there wearing hard cleats on the synthetic turf. And I don't know how you stay injury-free from that. I really don't. And I don't know what the answer is, because if it is real grass, you don't have the time or the money to take care of it the way you're supposed to wear.
Who doesn't have the money? What?
Local high schools.
Oh.
I'm talking
about the NFL again.
But no, but you mentioned you increased injuries at the high school level because everybody's getting turfed. Yeah, that's the point.
I think it's bogus. It would be at the high school level, too. How did we do it?
It'd be a cow pasture if it was grass.
How did America in high school football maintain a field for all those decades? Really, for like 100 years. How did they do that?
We didn't have a great one.
Oh, it turned into mud by October, November?
Yep.
So what?
Yep.
It's better than playing on this turf grass.
Better than playing on concrete.
Make America grass again.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Everybody should go back to grass.
Yes.
Everybody. Don't even have to change the acronym.
Right. Keep the hat.
Make it a green hat, though.
Yes.
Mike Florio wrote, the situation to go to grass is gaining momentum, especially with many noticing the willingness of NFL owners with stadiums to remove their artificial turf to get grass installed for World Cup matches.
We do it here.
Is there anybody here that would...
No, we do it here. All right, and I've seen it on both sides, too.
Build you a bridge and give you grass.
I've seen it on both sides, too, where and you go out there for pregame warm-up, and I watch guys warm up 3-4 hours before the game, and they're bitching about grass because... It gives. Like, that grass out in Vegas sucked. And they will in and out. Same thing in Arizona, the Super Bowl. They were changing cleats at halftime all over the place and throughout the game. Guys are blowing knees out.
That's because it wasn't an established grass yet. That was a bad mistake on their part.
How do you know?
The way they swap in the, oh, we'll just lay down turf a month before the game.
How do you not have perfect grass in Arizona, in Las Vegas?
I would agree.
Or Miami.
You know what
Miami,
it comes down
there's
to?
There's been issues in Miami, dude.
Money.
Yeah.
The NFL's cheap.
But you shouldn't be cheap on this.
They shouldn't. As Florio also wrote, it says, given the billions, the many billions the league generates, there's a degree of cheapness that keeps the teams from embracing a better and safer surface. They're all cheap. That's why. If Arizona just took care of their grass, why are they bringing in a new turf weeks before the Super Bowl?
Why don't they
already have an established lawn there that they have in mint condition, ready to go?
And poor George Toma, who took care of it for all that time. They overwatered it. They painted it late. The paint wasn't even dry. Like, you effed up the entire playing surface for a Super Bowl that took place in Arizona. We're out there the whole week. That was gorgeous weather. There was no rain. There was no extra heat. It was 80 and sunny every day. Let that field sit out there. How's that thing not prepared 3 weeks prior? The hell you waiting on? Multi-billion-dollar freaking league. It gets all that money coming in. The amount of revenue you get for a Super Bowl in that city. Vegas, they had to paint the end zones because there was no grass. Dirt. Raiders painted black. Remember when the review went to, was that a catch or not? In the lateral game out there that we lost? Where the foot's down? Look at it. There's dirt all around it, too, but it's painted dirt. That's an indoor stadium with real grass, but your end zones are dirt because somehow you effed that up. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. And I don't know what the answer is. We did this. We read
grass.
Soccer stuff.
More grass.
I know. I would rather have a grass, but we read the stuff on some of the high-tech soccer fields that they do it on layers and pallets, and they keep it indoors, but they keep the grow lights over it. And then it's on tracks, and they bring it out, and they kind of piece it together.
You start talking about all this,
like,
though.
What are we doing?
Well, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It is.
Well,
it's
Bill Belichick once said, we'll start a bake sale for them.
I agree, and I think they should spend the money, but don't act like it's nothing. And it's And I know that the turf is not cheap, and especially when you replace it every few years and they've got a better version of it and you roll that in there. But apparently it's nothing compared to the cost of growing, maintaining grass. And that's it. And the consistency.
I feel real bad for them.
The consistency of it, too. I get that part of it. It's like, yeah, the turf may not be as good as grass, but it's the same thing every week. You know what that's going to be week in and week out. There's no worrying about it. You lay it down and it's done. The grass, there's always something to be doing with it.
There's more being discussed about the NFL deciding to go with Thursday night flex going forward, the end of the year. What did you want to mention about that?
We're in Pittsburgh on a Thursday night. So you ask me, hey, what's a good game to go to for fans? I always say, well, obviously the Vegas one. You guys have all, everybody's done the Miami one. We want something different. Pittsburgh's a great city to go to for a game. You stay downtown, you go to the game, you walk across the bridge. So you start buying tickets already for it. So you fly in. So now all of a sudden we're flying in and we might get flexed out potentially.
Yes.
On a Thursday night.
Yes.
And people have already scheduled and paid for things and may not be able to get their flight money back or tickets. So all of a sudden, it's the inconvenience of 70,000 people. Not only them, stadium workers and people that depend on the money.
So a lot of people have theorized that it's the NFL, I think as Mad Dog was yelling on TV yesterday about throwing Amazon a bone in all of this.
That's what they want to do because everybody's been bitching about the Amazon product and Al Michaels doesn't help.
Someone at the league talked to Florio. I'm sorry. A high-level source with knowledge of the dynamics talked to Florio and said, it's actually not about Amazon. We're not worried about Amazon. They're already with us. They're committed to us. They're worried about future streaming deals. They want to pump up the numbers to better sell the packages.
Look how good it is on Amazon.
And Bert Breer wrote about it this week as well. I think you had mentioned Breer. And I thought the point that he put in his story was, they need to make sure streaming numbers are good for future deals because the streaming services don't need the NFL the way the networks do. The networks have more of a need for NFL games than the streaming services. The streaming services find them as a nice thing to have. The networks sort of depend on them for all of their promotion of their primetime lineups. It's how they drive people to the networks. It's an age-old model.
Yeah.
So they've got to boost the streaming numbers for future deals. For the future
Thursday,
money.
Thursday
for,
sucks to begin
for
with.
For future billions when they can't afford grass. Right.
It just sucks to begin with. And it's not fair to players. You know, the coaches hate it. The players hate it. Everybody hates it. Except the owners.
Tonight is game 5 at TD Garden. Wanted to get to a question that I think has been on our rundown for like 4 days now. Has it been on there 4 times?
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah, it's been on there all week, and for some reason we just haven't gotten to this yet. It relates to the Bruins and Celtics and how their seasons have wrapped up, may wrap up for the Celtics. We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now,
look at all this suit.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand. It's presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Get there for tonight's game 5.
Yeah. Hey, real quick here. We've been talking about this NFL thing, you know, obviously with the OTA violation and the turf field stuff. And we're just trying to come up with scenarios with how this could happen, right? And brought up the Strahan point. Like, you know, he ran out Tom Coughlin for too much work in the offseason. been told this is not from a player. And
well, who'd you talk to at the NFLPA that let you know
I didn't
that?
Talk to anybody at the NFLPA. I trust this person that told me that this is definitely 100% not.
Well, wouldn't it need to be the NFLPA to let
us
know?
No, but I think the team, the team would know. I mean, the people involved would know.
Oh, so the team is telling us this.
No, not the team. Just saying
Well,
person.
I'm just saying the only person, the only people that could
We have
could
a popular
tell
show and a lot
sure,
of people are listening to us.
Could
okay,
tell you so. For sure that no one ratted to the NFLPA would be the NFLPA or a source of the NFLPA.
Unless, Beetle, as I said from the outset here, you had to take the leap that there was no person from the NFLPA that was actually observing.
Which maybe there could have been. And maybe that is some of the new stuff. And like I said, I haven't been in locker rooms in 30 years. And I don't know what the course of action is or what procedurals are. But the normal response is someone complains because we're doing too much work. That's the way most of these things have happened. But I was told that is not the case. And I couldn't get any more better information from the person that told me that. So that's it.
I guess their history of rule breaking puts them under the microscope.
Whatever you think.
Yeah, it's like a Brad Marchand type thing. He does things that don't necessarily warrant a suspension or a fine, but he gets them because of his reputation.
Right. Like I said, I don't blame him for working our ass off. I'd be doing it. I said I'd be in there day one. Day one. I know you technically can't meet and do all that, but there are things you can do in the building. You have your access thing. That's why I said, hey, if you're the quarterback early in the offseason, get in there every day, man.
We'll
be the guy.
Focus on the coaching staff being incredibly stupid for posting it on a schedule and then losing 20% of their OTAs. What a bunch of dopes. Yeah, Bill, way to go. Great job. Way to lose 20% of the practices. I'm sure he's loving the fact that it was one that was open to the public or open to the media today. That he probably doesn't hate so much.
They still have two more open.
And he does cancel them from time to time anyway.
They have. They've canceled
them. So I guess
he'll
just count these as canceled ones.
Yeah, he has. Right, he's taking them on field trips before at the end.
Oh yeah, go play cornhole.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, by the way, leaving his building today. Cornhole boards outside. Grills are set up. Bars set up.
Okay.
There was a cookout. We didn't get invited.
Can we focus on this football story for a moment more? This is a very important season for Bill Belichick, right? Does everyone agree? Everyone with some sort of rational opinion on the year?
Yes.
How's the year starting off for him then?
Haven't seen him yet. I don't know.
Well, based on this latest information.
What? Because you had a meeting? A special teams meeting?
You slipped up and fell into a violation which canceled two of your OTAs. Great start, Bill. Oh, you're nailing it.
I don't know what the exact rule
Way
is.
Way to nail it.
To what you can and can't do. So it's hard for me to speak
on. What do you mean?
Really
he broke the rule. They broke the rule. They broke the rule and lost two OTAs.
I mean, hard to freaking believe you can't get together and watch special teams film. Like, I mean, my God.
You can. You can't post it as a mandatory meeting.
You can't post it on the schedule.
It's a stupid rule, and it's a dumb thing, but it's stupid. It's not going to derail the whole season. But is this how Bill wishes things would have started?
Probably not, because it gets people talking about your team.
I would say probably not is probably the safest thing to say. Yeah, he's probably pissed at himself or someone on the staff. His staff, the staff that he's in charge of. Great start, guys. Way to get off on the right foot. 2023, big year for everybody involved. Coach, quarterback, the offense. Need a big bounce back year. This schedule is a bear as it stands right now. Subject to change, but the way it looks right now, it's going to be a very hard road this year. Tough sledding. Way to lose practices in the first week of doing anything.
Hey, get Adam on.
Good job, guys. You're crushing it. Absolutely crushing it.
This went on all day yesterday. I think people are doing it on purpose in the office to mess with us now.
I don't think they are.
Is there a wooden shoe store where you can buy wooden shoes? Is this some new place?
Yes.
Holland.
In Holland, yes.
Yeah, did they open up at the outlet?
They all went to the Tulip Festival.
Is that what it was?
They went to see the windmills. That's the ones, right? Holland.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make good cheese there, I heard. Holland. Very good cheese.
What kind?
The kind you get the big wheels in. Not the Brie. It might be Brie. Holland's a good cheesemaker. Them cows, milk them.
We're not going to get to that.
Get to what?
To that topic.
This is why.
That we were going to get to right out of the
Yeah, the
break.
Bruins and the Celtics? Let's go.
Come on. No, we're not going to do it now.
We'll do it at the bottom of the hour.
That's why you can't just do like a real quick.
Ooh, we got a good
12,
this or that.
21.
We got a good this or that too today. Unless you guys don't want to use that one.
The one you brought up?
Yeah.
No, we're not using that one today, but we might use it.
Okay.
It's a good one.
It is. I thought it was
I just don't
good.
Know that it's yeah. it's for today.
Okay.
It's a little bit grim.
Dismal.
A little
like,
grim.
I don't like talking
I think
about
it's good, but it's grim.
Yeah.
A more upbeat one today. We're looking for a more positive one today. We should really limit the negative ones to like one.
Positive vibes today.
Yeah.
We're
looking for those. Let's get to Anthony in New Hampshire. Let's do this. We'll get to that other thing in a
hey,
moment.
Anthony.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you guys are talking about the grass and versus turf and all
yes.
that, and it got me thinking. I don't know if you guys saw the show Welcome to Wrexham about the team Rob McElhinney and Ryan Reynolds own, but you know they put a new grass field in I think 2021 or 2022. So if those guys can do it for a soccer team that's three tiers down from the Premier League, pretty sure the NFL can do it too. So.
Well, how many events do they have on that grass? How many concerts do they have? How many truck and tractor pulls? How many monster jams do they have?
I don't know the answer to that.
Just play
but
soccer
I know
that
as soon as games are over, people are running out onto that field and all that. So I know it gets damaged. Probably doesn't have the impact like a Gillette Stadium has or anything like that. But there's still a lot of usage, and if those guys can do it at a you know. Tear down soccer team in Wales, the NFL can definitely do it and have grass fields.
The NFL did it for decades until, I don't know, in the last 10 to 15 years, everyone's yeah. just switched over to the turf.
Yeah, but the one thing I will say, though, is were there the same number of events going on in those previous decades in the stadium when football games weren't going on?
I would say concerts were a thing. Were they ripping it up and putting Monster Jam in there? No, I don't think they were.
And they cover it, and they're not doing it on the grass. We know this; it's protected, but it's got to impact. It has to.
There's sure,
no way it could.
Yeah, no, I don't know what we're gonna do without the monster trucks.
No, I'm saying that when they cover the grass for these things, you know, it's not complete. It's protected, but it still has to have some kind of a negative impact on it.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Yep. I'm sure it does.
You just leave it open for the concerts. We did this in Las Vegas when we had our big outdoor stadium shows there at Sam Boyd Stadium. And ours was a few weeks after another station and the cluster had theirs. And at that point, several weeks later, it came back and there are little marijuana pot dope plants sprouting up all
no
over
kidding.
The from people. Because this is back in the day.
Yeah.
This is 20 plus years ago. You know, you weren't smoking with some... marijuana pot pipe that ran off a USB charger.
Right.
You had to roll your own, and the seeds would drop down, and you'd sprout up some little
That's awesome.
Marijuana pot dope plants. That you could see them
awesome.
Out there on the field.
Shoot, I remember when Gillette went over to the field turf, and they had all those events, but they put the pallets down,
yep.
and it sort of compacts everything in the middle of the field, so it's a little more raised because you want the water runoff to go towards the sides. And I remember the kickers always complaining. Gostkowski would always, go up and down with Cardona and like, this turf's messed up as opposed to outside the numbers. So it's in the middle of the field where it really, really gets affected.
You know, you're really going to make sure you separate the male and female plants, Artie.
Why?
That's really important in the early stages.
Ah.
I don't know if you know that. Hope someone was doing that out there. Checking the sex of the marijuana plant.
How do you check the sex? You look underneath a leaf?
I'll tell you during these headlines, okay?
Yeah.
617-779-0985. This or that coming up at 12:50. And also sort of a this or that as it relates to sports with Bruce Cassidy, who is really having a hell of a time right now, and Ime Udoka, who has work again, and the guys who replaced them. We'll tell you about it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zoe and Beetle.
I don't think that's a thing.
On 98.5 The Sport. Sports Hub.
Brad and I have both met with the players. Brad can fill you in more on that, but I would say in general they are very concerned about this. It's not a welcome development, but they also, I felt, have energy and focus and commitment and drive to really accomplish great things, hopefully, this season.
I sat there and said, I'm the same guy that 6 years ago sat with you to believe in you, and I sat there yesterday believing him as an excellent head coach. It's just I made a very difficult decision, and I had to deliver the news as I would in person and discuss some of the things where we both fell short and not getting the job done, and wishing him well with, you know, it's only a matter of when, not a matter of if he has the next opportunity.
We're about 2-3 days late in getting to this. Keeps getting put on the rundown every day, and we haven't attacked it yet.
We're busy.
We're gonna do it now. In some ways, it's better. In some ways, it's worse. It's better in that tonight, Bruce Cassidy and his Golden Knights have a chance to punch their ticket to the Cup Final. They're up 3-0 on the Dallas Stars. Game 4 is tonight with an 8 o'clock puck drop. Also, the Celtics have a chance to keep their season alive at TD Garden with their head coach Joe Mazzulla, who did a good job in Game 4 but has really faced a lot of criticism. And I think his job is in jeopardy, assuming the Celtics do not find a way out of this series. So here's the question. A Celtics team that appears will come up short. A Bruins team that most definitely came up short and couldn't get out of the first round after having a historic all-time best regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Which coaching move of the two that were made has proven to be more damaging to the team?
Oh, right now, it's the Bruins. It's the Bruins. They had the greatest regular season in hockey history. They got knocked out in the first round.
Okay. I'm gonna
I don't know where you're going to go, because you're going to say, if Ime was here, where would you see me?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to say, if Cassidy had come back, I don't know if Bergeron plays. I don't know if Krejci plays. I don't know if that team, I think they make the playoffs.
Can we limit it to just their coaching abilities? Like, you know, we don't need to do the whole butterfly effect on this. Just from a coaching perspective, the rosters are what they were.
Are they a good coach is what you're saying? So,
right, okay. In terms of what the team is getting out of its head coach.
Well, I think we know more about Cassidy than we did about Ime. Even though we only had Ime for 1 year, we know, and where it was trending, that Ime's got a pretty good handle on things.
Yeah, but we know nothing about Joe Mazzulla, you know, because he hadn't really done it before. Right. And
it's really, the question is this. Assuming everything else is the same, which team would have benefited more from having their previous head coach during this playoff run as opposed to the guy they have?
It's probably Ime.
That's how I feel.
Because he would be able to kick their ass, and Smart wouldn't tell him, I'm going to sit in your chair when the timeout happens, and Smart probably wouldn't take the whiteboard off Ime. I don't know that.
And here's why. Here's why. The Bruins, I think, with Bruce Cassidy, would have gotten out of the first round because he would not have messed with the lineups, which at times was his undoing, right?
Sure.
At times we wanted him to be more flexible
right.
with lineups, and he was so rigid with them that the pairings and the lines didn't change enough. Okay, so would they have found a way maybe to eke out the first round? Yes, but when you look at the Bruins, do the Bruins need, I guess, someone to help manage the culture of the team the way the Celtics desperately need it right now? And I say that answer is no.
Yeah.
The Bruins would have gone as far as their players were going to take them, because they didn't have those issues. They don't have those issues of getting up for games. They look like they got to the end, and they all, some guys looked old, some guys were injured. Coaching was a problem. They could have gotten out of that first round, but right now, I feel like the Celtics from a commitment to defending overall the entire playoffs, not just obviously this week because the other night they did it pretty well. They lack that voice.
I know what you want to do, though. And you say you can't do the butterfly effect and you can't, you know, extrapolate everything. Say, you know, everything in the regular season is the same and you just, you know, substitute coaches at the start of the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So that you can then go back and say, who screwed up more, the Celtics or the Bruins, by replacing their coach?
No, I don't even think it's that, because it's really about which team would have been better with a different style or different voice.
It's not but you're still doing it with a caveat.
Because we're not doing the whole, like, were they wrong to fire him? We're not doing that again. We've already done that a million times.
Well, if you just based on...
Were both teams hurt by changing their coach?
Yes.
In the playoffs, right now, this month. Yes.
I think
Coaching was a problem for both teams.
It doesn't seem like anybody kicks the Celtics' ass. That's the problem, and that's where you had Avime lighting guys up as they were walking off the court. And they got their ass on the bench, and they sat there, and they had their head
down.
Because,
Artie, they could have both been 100% right to move on from Bruce Cassidy and move on from Emay. Fine. They got guys who were not as good as those
which coach is doing the worst job in the playoffs?
Okay.
I don't even think it's necessarily that, because I think that case could be made for Bruce Cassidy. Sorry, for Jim Montgomery.
Yes.
And I don't think... That's my answer. My answer is still, I think the Celtics would benefit more from Ime than the Bruins would have benefited from Bruce Cassidy.
They've made it through a couple of rounds, the Celtics have.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
But I do think the Bruins look worse because Butchie had a job within 7 days. He got paid double the money. And he's taking his team, his new team in Vegas, which is in a great hockey market, a hell of a lot further than the veteran team that Montgomery inherited. Now, you can look at it from the Celtics' perspective and say, well, they had to do something because there was this massive internal violation, and this is not the way we tolerate things in our line of work or our business or in our building, so we had to make this move, and Joe's doing about as fine a job as he can without the experience. Like, you were ready for a coaching change for the Bruins. Like, Celtics weren't until they got this info that dropped on them for, what, a couple months, and they brought in the external investigation to have it done. Then they got the results, and they announced it before media day. And Joe was kind of thrown into the fire. You know, the Bruins got together and said, well, yeah, we're going to fire. We're going to move away from Butchie. And then Butchie got snapped up.
Their hand was...
Got double the money.
But their hand was forced on it because guys who were not going to play. There were guys who were not going to play. I know what you want me to do. I can't do it. I can't extrapolate it, and I can't just say, oh, no, this one is, you know, they're in be better position with Ime here versus Cassidy here or vice versa. There's too many variables. But it is hard for me to imagine a Bruce Cassidy coach team losing like the Bruins did in the first round. It's hard for me to conceive of that. It really is.
Given how good they were in the regular season,
it's hard to conceive that it happened even with Montgomery here. I still can't wrap my head around it, especially with as many veterans on that team who understand the difference between regular season and playoff hockey. They weren't ready for it. They didn't do it. They did not get the job done. And the lines and the coaching and all that stuff, but... Oh.
I was just going to say, because you know, Bruce Cassidy has lost in the first round with the Bruins before.
And let me tell you, the Panthers, they could win the whole thing.
Maybe.
You know, maybe it's just a buzzsaw that you were unlucky to run into, and it wouldn't matter who was coaching.
That's what I like to think.
But wait a minute. But since the Panthers,
I like to think those things,
they've sort of advanced so easily, it looked like the best team there. You could have been that too if maybe you put your goalie in for game three, or maybe if you didn't mess with those lines.
Yeah, Bruce Cassidy may have gotten out of the first round a year ago if he had pulled Tuukka out of the freaking game.
Sure.
Could have happened too.
Could have, would have, should have. That could be a new segment. This or that. Now we got coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Well, that's in the mix. Also, the this or that I will give you, which is coming up right after this on Zolak and Bertrand.
Bruce Arena.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're back with more Zolak and Bertrand on the Sports Hub.
This or that coming up top of the hour, just minutes from now. Right now we go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And welcoming the head coach and sporting director of the New England Revolution, Bruce Arena, is with us again. Bruce, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
We're doing good, Bruce.
Good.
Hey, we haven't talked to you a lot where you've lost two games in a row, but you guys dropped your second. What happened after halftime that caused the breakdowns?
Well, we made a few mistakes in our back line, and it cost us dearly. And, you know, those are mistakes that we can eliminate, and that's certainly been emphasized during the week.
One of the things that happened was Carlos Hill going off with an injury in the 35th minute. What's his status right now?
Well, I'm hopeful he can play Saturday. You know, so that's good news that he's in the picture, so... You know, we'll know more tomorrow. He was out on the field today, and he looked good. And so I'm hopeful he can play on Saturday.
Brandon Bye already listed as out for the match on Saturday. Right. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you do with him and DeJuan Jones back there? Or how do you replace Brandon Bye is my question.
Well, we can do a variety of things. Perhaps play DeJuan on the right and bring in one of our other players on the left side of midfield. We'll play a back three. We're going to finalize that tomorrow. But, you know, we have some veteran players that should be able to step in and help us. So that's what we're counting on in the next week, because it's a heavy week again with a game in Atlanta on Wednesday and then in New York on Saturday. So we have to have everyone ready on our roster.
You know my feelings about DeJuan Jones. They're well documented. You take a Spartan, you do anything with him. You need to move him to the other side, he can do it. You need him to play a different position, he can do it. That kid is going to be there for you, I'm telling you. It's in his blood. Mm.
He's a good athlete, and he has a great attitude. So, you know, we're going to certainly utilize him as best we can.
They say you need to bury a dead body in the middle of the night. Call a Spartan.
Call a Spartan.
Always there for you.
Call me, call DeJuan, just call somebody. Yeah, we'll
I got a spot where I'd bury it, too. I can help you out, too.
Oh, you got a spot.
Yeah, it's up north.
Is this an opportunity, given the schedule this week, given battling some injuries, to overcome some adversity and bounce back and really prove something to yourselves after the last couple of losses?
I think so. You know, if we had won the last game, it would have been the best start in our history in the first 13 games. So it's not like we're crawling in misery around here. We're doing okay. The game Saturday is important. I think 3 points on Saturday. It's critical, so we're going to get after it. We're going to throw out the best lineup we can put on the field and try to get 3 points.
Hey, Bruce, Latif Blessing, you've had him back since he got back from Ghana. He's been in the starting lineup for a while now, but he draws the yellow card, you know, 4 minutes in. How, for a physical player like that, how much does that change the way a guy like him?
It changed a lot. And it was a terrible yellow card.
Good.
That the referee issued. It was awful. But it does impact the way you can play the rest of the game. So, you know, we pulled him off the field about 60 minutes in. But Latif is coming back. You know, he had the 2 weeks off when he went to Ghana to get his immigration status organized. And, you know, he's coming around now. He's coming back into form, and, you know, we're confident he's going to be an important player for us as we move into the month of June.
At 3-4-6, Chicago has not had the best of seasons. What are you looking for as you prepare for them this weekend?
Well, they've played lately. Lately, they've played well. They had a change in coaches in the past 2 weeks, I think, and their team has responded well. They have an excellent playmaker in Shaqiri. He plays the same position as Carlos, different type of player, but really a good player. And they got two good strikers in Kai Kamara, who I think played here in New England at one point in his career. And this player, Shabelko, up top. So two good forwards. Got an experienced team of guys. So it's going to be like every MLS game. It's going to be a hard-fought game, and, you know, we got to be ready to play.
You ever coach basketball, Bruce?
I haven't coached basketball, but I, like everyone else, thinks I'm an expert at it anyway.
Okay, so I understand that you may be within shouting distance of the bench tonight. There any chance you could, you know, throw a few pointers over toward
that
the Celtics
correct.
Bench?
You know, my trainer in L.A. when I was with the Galaxy is now on the staff of Miami, and he has one job. He takes care of one player. Can you guess who the player is?
It takes care of in what
Jimmy
way?
Jimmy Butler.
It's got to be Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
So his job is to just maintain the conditioning and fitness levels of Jimmy Butler?
Yeah. Yep, that's his job.
So real quick, I saw Miami arrived.
From what I can tell.
So I saw Miami was late arriving, 3-hour delay last night. They're all getting off the bus at the thing, and Jimmy Butler gets in a separate SUV with a guy, and it's probably his trainer.
It's probably your guy.
Well, yeah. They take good care of him, that's for sure, and he's a heck of a player. I'm going to be at the game tonight, so I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to look for you. We're going to be there too, huh? Bruce.
Great.
Your seats are – your seats. Hey, no,
hold
seriously.
Hold on a second.
If he's close to the Miami bench, he's close to your seats.
Hold on a second.
We will also be seated near the Miami bench tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'll be in the area. I'll be by the basket.
Okay. Lucky you.
Okay. So, Bruce, we're a little intimidated by you. We would like to say hello. We would like to pay our respects, but we have to know A, if that's going to be okay, and B, are you going to make it awkward for us? Because we're going to feel a little awkward doing it anyway.
Hey, I love you guys. Let's say. It'll be fun.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Throw some back.
All right. Okay. All right.
Hey, and let's win the game tonight too. We got to get the Celtics into game six.
Okay. I like it.
Bruce, I wanted to follow up on the travel thing. You've done so much traveling in your career. Do travel delays mess up a team as badly as fans want to think they do?
They do a little bit, but you know, when obviously in the NBA you're flying in nice charters and you're not killing yourself and you're going to the nice hotel. So a 3-hour delay is not going to throw them out of whack. They're going to be fine.
Okay.
They just went through a grind of an NBA season with all that travel and wear and tear. I would imagine they'll do fine. They're used to this kind of travel.
All right, Bruce. We'll see you tonight.
Great. Same here. Yep. Looking forward to it.
See you, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks. Yep.
I don't believe him. Great.
He hates us.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, yeah.
You know
these how, jabronis.
You know how we know he hates us? Because he just said that he likes us.
Yeah.
No, he said he loves us.
Now I got to do three jabronis.
I love you guys.
Yeah. I don't even love you guys.
I think we're going to be sitting near him.
Yes.
It's going to be super awkward.
What if we're next to him?
Oh,
I think he's going to sit next to
him. No, he'll have better seats than we have.
Milliken.
Yeah, you're
no,
right.
Don't.
Yeah, you're right. He'll be.
Better shower.
You don't have faith in me?
No, I do, but you got to clean up a little bit.
Come sniff me.
You going to talk a little footy with the head coach and sporting director of your New England Revolution?
Of course. I love some MLS.
All right.
This or that coming up after the headlines in 90 seconds.
Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.